We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Comic book characters are known for possessing awesome abilities outside of the scope of humanity. Superman is a Superman, possessing the ability to fly, super strength, and freeze breath. Thor possesses the power of a god and commands thunder and lightning. Cyclops emits a powerful energy beam or optic blast from his eyes. The Flash has super speed, and in modern-day representations, can slow time down around him by moving so quickly. All these characters have great abilities, but what about you? What's your superpower?
Good afternoon. Hey, I'm super organized. All right, welcome to Redemption Church. Yeah! I'm glad to see you all in the house of God today. My name is Pastor Marshall. I'm the care pastor here. Today is a wonderful day, and I'm glad to have fellowship with you as part of it. Praise be to God. We are talking about superpowers. That's our sermon series currently. I'm excited about this series because I enjoy comic books. Pastor Scott and I read comic books from time to time. And so it's an interesting topic to me. I enjoy comic books, and I enjoy Jesus even more. So I'm glad to get to combine those two. So we've been talking about superpowers during this sermon series. A couple weeks ago, we put out on Facebook a question. We asked, if you could have any superpower, which one would you want to have? We got some interesting answers. It's fun to think about that. If you could have some superpower, which one would you want to have? Turn to somebody next to you and tell them. I'll wait. Which superpower would you want to have if you could have a power? We got different responses. We've talked about supervision during this series, not like a chaperone, but like superhuman vision. We've talked about super strength. Flight is a popular one. Scott mentions teleportation. It's always popular. Today, I would like to talk about some powers that are often overlooked. I wouldn't be surprised if nobody even mentioned them as we were discussing which power we would want to have. Today, I'm going to talk about invincibility and invulnerability. So, as I mentioned, I enjoy comic books. I enjoy weird comic books. So, one of my favorites is called Dial H, or Dial H-E-R-O. It's a series about a device, and when you activate it, it gives you random superpowers for a limited time. And it's a neat story, but the very first story in this series was about a guy who got a hold of this device. He didn't exactly understand how it worked, but he was able to activate it, and it gave him the ability to fly, and it gave him superhuman strength. And he thought, oh, wow, this is awesome. I'm basically Superman. This is great. So he took off, and he was soaring around. He was having fun, and then he looked and saw a kid riding a bike with headphones in his ears, and he was headed towards a car coming the other direction, but there was like a hill or a curve in the road between them that they didn't see each other, and they were headed for a collision course, and he thought, oh no, this kid, he's going to get hit by this car. Never fear, I'm on the job. So he soared down there and put himself in front of the car, and boom! He got smacked because he could fly, and he had super strength, but he wasn't invulnerable. So the kid was safe, and the car kind of veered off, but he was left on the side of the road, really banged up. Invulnerability and invincibility, they can be important. And we can often overlook them. When we're thinking of superheroes, those are powers we often take for granted. And these two terms, invulnerability, invincibility, they're easily confused. You may be familiar with Iron Man. There's been a couple movies about him. He's a popular hero. His comic book series was, for a long time, called The Invincible Iron Man. But that's not exactly right, because Tony Stark, the guy in the suit, is just a man. He's not a rich man, but still human. He's not really invincible. He wears super powerful armor. And you wear armor because it makes you invulnerable to damage. That's what armor does. So he should have been called the invulnerable Iron Man. That's not as easy to say, and it doesn't sound as cool, so they went with the invincible Iron Man. Today, I'm going to start with invulnerable. Invulnerability. It means, it's an adjective that means impossible to harm or damage. Now, lots of heroes have this power. As I said, it's pretty common. Superheroes need to have at least some measure of invulnerability because the bad guys are always trying to attack them, and in some really dangerous ways. In order to survive, they need to be super durable. So last week we talked about Superman and the Hulk. We all know Superman is invulnerable. You can shoot at him and the bullets just bounce right off. And the Hulk, you could drive a tank at him. It would just make him mad and he'd grab it and throw it out of his way. They're invulnerable. But as I was thinking about this power, one particular hero came to mind that really embodies invulnerability. So here's your superhero trivia question of the day. All right, the first person who gets the answer will get called a nerd by everyone else. No, just kidding. What comic book character has the real name of Ben Grimm? What character's real name is Ben Grimm? Who is it? It's the Thing! Excellent work. The ever-loving blue-eyed Thing. He's a member of the Fantastic Four. He's the good-looking one. His catchphrase is, "It's clobberin' time." It's clobberin' time! He's made of rock. He's easy to recognize because he's made of orange rock. And so he looks invulnerable, right? When you look at this guy, he looks pretty tough. If, like, Superman's invulnerable, but when he's just dressed in normal clothes, when he's Clark Kent, you can't really tell. If you got mad at him, you might think, this jerk, I'll punch him in the face. You'd break your hand if you did, but you don't know. If you look at the Thing, you're not going to say, oh, I'll just punch this guy, because you'd be punching a brick wall. Yeah. He looks invulnerable. Invulnerability is an important power. Wouldn't it be great to be invulnerable? To be sort of immune to damage? You wouldn't have to worry about things hurting you. Help, my baby's trapped in a burning building. No worries. I'm invulnerable. I'll just go right in there. There's a runaway bus. Ah, no problem. I'm invulnerable. Anything. You could stand up to basically anything. Ebola. No worries. For me, I'm sorry about the rest of you guys. We love invulnerable characters. In movies, in video games, in stories, we like the characters that can just charge in and nothing can stop them when they really take it to the bad guys and nothing can get in their way. We like to feel invulnerable. We like it when we feel like there's nothing that can touch us. We're really on our game. There's no stopping me now. Are you aware that we can be invulnerable to a limited extent? It's true. But there's a couple problems with being invulnerable. First of all, we tend to overuse it. Now you may say, hold on a minute. I just found out that I could be invulnerable 2 seconds ago, how could I possibly be overusing this power? Well, let's start from the top. God has already given you the ability to get tougher. All right? If any of you work with your hands a lot, or you work with little tools frequently, you might tend to develop calluses on your hands. Or if you're on your feet a lot, you can develop calluses on your feet. Anywhere where you undergo stress on a particular part of your body will get tougher there. It'll build up some extra layers of skin because it knows, hey, I'm getting some stress right here, right here. I need to be tougher here. Your body makes itself tougher. Same thing with bone density. Scientists have found that compression impact stress increases bone density over time. If your bones, if your skeleton experiences a lot of impact stress just from walking or jogging or running or playing sports, your bones get denser because your body realizes, hey, I'm undergoing a lot of stress. I need to make sure my bones are tough enough to handle this. And scientists have done experiments with people who just stomped around for a while versus people who stayed sitting. And they found that impact force over time led to higher bone density. Antibodies. We know about this one, right? When we get some diseases, our bodies fight those diseases. And antibodies are one of the ways that our bodies identify the germs that cause disease. So with some diseases, we get them once, our bodies figure out how to fight them, and then we can't get that disease anymore, like chickenpox. You get that once when you're a kid, or nowadays they have vaccines for it. That works in the same way. We inject a little bit of the dead germs, so our bodies figure out how to identify them, and then we can't, when we encounter those germs in our life, our bodies already know, oh, I can fight this. I'm immune to this. Our bodies naturally get tougher. We fight things that cause us stress. We develop invulnerability in response to things to which we are vulnerable. It's a natural phenomenon. But nowadays, we often face emotional and mental stress more often than physical harm. I mean, you can just look at the news. We live in a stressful world. We live in a broken world. There's a lot of things going on. Sometimes we can just look at our lives and all the things that we got going on between family and work. We got budgets to balance. We got a schedule. We've got to keep things going. And then an emergency happens. Our car breaks down or something goes wrong. We tend to experience mental and emotional stress more often. And we often try to become resistant to it. Some people use substances. Some people even become dependent on substances to try to deal with stress, to become resistant to it, to numb that stressful impact. Some people try to distract themselves with something else, maybe with work or with entertainment or anything else that they can focus on and not have to think about these other things that cause them stress in their life. In these ways, we can try to become resistant to the sources of stress. We are trying to not let them affect us. But there's another way. Just like we almost naturally form calluses and our bones get denser and we make antibodies to fight disease, when we encounter stress, emotional stress, we can harden our heart.
Yes, that's right.
kind of like the Thing. We don't literally turn into a rock creature, but we can kind of shut down, close off our heart, and say, no, I'm not going to feel that. I'm not going to worry about that. I don't care about that anymore. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 14 says, blessed is the man who always fears the Lord, but he who hardens his heart falls into trouble. Now this tells us two things. Number one, we can harden our heart. It's not just a figure of speech. We don't literally harden our heart, but we can become hard and resistant emotionally. Number two is that that's not a good thing. He who hardens his heart falls into trouble. It leads to problems. You can harden your heart against the suffering of others. Yeah, I know, man, but everybody's got problems. I'm not trying to hear that right now. Just deal with it. Get that away from me. I don't care anymore. You can become invulnerable to almost any source of stress in your life. You can become invulnerable to your family, to your friends, to your boss at work, to almost anything. You can sort of build up this hardness in your heart where I really just don't care about you anymore. I can't deal with that. You can become invulnerable. So you can become invulnerable to almost anything. You can even become invulnerable to the call of God in your life. It may not even be intentional. But how many of you have experienced a time where you really felt moved by God to do something? You really felt God was leading you to do something, or you felt really called to do a particular thing. Maybe it was go pray with this person, or hey, man, I really feel like I should get baptized, or whatever. There are times in our life where we feel, yeah, I should really do that. I feel like God's leading me to do this thing. And then sometimes we just don't get around to it, or something comes up, or we have a reason, yeah, but I don't want to do it right now. Okay. Well then, God will continue to call us and move in our lives, but that next time, it doesn't seem as strong. We still feel led. Hey, yeah, that's a good thing. I remember that. I was going to do that. But the call may not seem as strong. And so we tend to resist it. Well, what you're doing there is you're building up that resistance. You're hardening your heart. It's not that God doesn't call you as strongly anymore. It's that you're becoming resistant to his call until eventually you don't even notice it anymore. You don't care. You can become resistant to God. Eventually, we can become hard-hearted and stiff-necked. But we call it invulnerable. Second problem with invulnerability is that it's not achievable. We can never be completely invulnerable. Now, this one should seem obvious. This one's a no-brainer. No one has ever become completely bulletproof, right? Superman doesn't really exist. But we want to be invulnerable. We like to feel safe. And we can insulate our lives and try to protect ourselves from as much as possible. We can try to protect ourselves from everything. But if I've learned anything from comic books, I've learned that no one is completely invulnerable. Every superhero, every supervillain has a weakness. They all have an Achilles heel. All right, here's another quick quiz. Superman, what's his weakness? Kryptonite. And Lois Lane. Green Lantern. What's his weakness?
Yellow.
The color yellow.
Yellow.
That's what it used to be. Aquaman. What's his weakness? Land. That being out of water.
Lantern.
Almost everything. Heroes from all different genres. Indiana Jones. What's his weakness?
Snakes.
Why did it have to be snakes? Samson from the Bible. His hair. If you cut off his hair, he lost his strength. Achilles. His heel. He's one of the first superheroes from Greek mythology. He was the hero of the Trojan War. According to mythology, his mother wanted him to be invulnerable. So she took him and dipped him in the river Styx, because if you were dipped in the river Styx, weapons wouldn't be able to damage you. But she held him by his ankle, by his heel, and dipped him in. So there was that one part that didn't make it into the river. And so he was this great hero, this great champion, until he took an arrow to the heel and died. And now his name is used for weaknesses, the Achilles heel. Everybody's got their Achilles heel. We can try to become invulnerable to many things, even to God, but we can never truly be completely invulnerable. It may not be snakes or spiders or the color yellow, but you have a weakness. We all have a vulnerability. It could be friends and family. Now, I'm not saying that to say, oh, friends and family, they're a vulnerability. They make you weak. You should get rid of them. But no, relationships make us vulnerable. Yeah, like Lois Lane. But there's truth in that, because that's why a lot of superheroes have to have a secret identity. They can be incredibly tough and hard to damage, but if the villains find out who they are when they're not a superhero, they can go and harm all the people around them. They can attack them that way. Their friends and family are a vulnerability. It may be yourself. Your desire to be invulnerable, that can be a weakness. There's lots of villains in comic books who became villains because they were seeking power. They were seeking to become invulnerable, and they would do anything that it took. This lust for protection, for safety, for power, that's what led them into problems. Paradoxically, your invulnerability may be your weakness. It can be weird to think of it this way. A particular character came to mind when I was thinking about this. There's a villain named Metallo. His name used to be John Corbin. He was a man who got in an accident. They took his brain and put it in an indestructible robot. He's a Superman villain, in case you didn't recognize the cape in the picture. Well, Metallo, he's a robot powered by kryptonite that's made of super metals, that's nearly indestructible. So he is invulnerable for the most part. But I always remember when he first realized that he had become this cyborg. At first, he was really excited. Oh, man, I'm really strong and powerful, and I can't be destroyed. This is awesome. But over time, he started to really dislike it. He said, I can't feel anything. I can't taste anything. I'm super powerful, but I've lost a lot of what the things in life that bring me joy. As we seek to be invulnerable, we can start to become numb to the things of life around us. That could be your weakness. No matter how well you protect yourself, you're eventually going to die. We're all eventually going to face God. And Jesus says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. If you spent your time focusing on how to secure your earthly life, then you've left your soul vulnerable. Everybody has a vulnerability. A third problem with invulnerability is that we're not really expected to be invulnerable. We like to feel strong. We like to feel safe. We admire people that seem stoic and invulnerable. Those champions that nothing can take them down. They can get the job done. They don't seem to ever have problems. We can look up to people like that and want to be like them. You might even get the idea that Christians are expected to be invulnerable. There's some verses in the Bible that support this. You could look at the 23rd Psalm. Yes. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. But I'm not worried. That's not a problem. Or from Isaiah, no weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Psalm 91, you will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 may fall at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Or back to Isaiah, because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. I have set my face like flint, like rock. I'm invulnerable. I'm tough. I'm protected. These are good verses. There are others. Psalm 91 is full of them. But you can't take them out of context. You have to understand what they're part of, what's being said. Just looking at these verses in isolation, you could get the idea that if you're not invulnerable as a Christian, you're not doing it right. If you got problems in your life, well, you need to get right with God. You're doing something wrong. You got to work that out. You shouldn't have problems. If you pray enough, if you pray the right way, if you go to church more often, if you put more money in the church offering, if you do things the right way, there's some kind of combination that will allow you to reach this higher state of being and be a super Christian, and nothing can touch you. Don't believe that. That's not true. The Bible never says if you follow God, you won't have problems. Jesus himself said, in this world, you will have problems. Now, I do believe that God can protect us. We pray, deliver us from evil. I believe God can protect us from temptation. I believe God can give us supernatural protection at times. There have been times in my life where I've made it through things that I really shouldn't have made it through. God was with me and he helped me and protected me. I believe God can give us supernatural protection at times, but I don't believe it's guaranteed all the time. I believe we can reduce the problems that we face in our life by making better choices and by inviting God into our lives and into the choices we make to help us be smart about the things we do. Amen. That way, maybe we won't encounter those problems later. But God never promises us a problem-free life. The Bible doesn't say we should be invulnerable in this life. Instead, we can look to Jesus. He is the example for everything our life should be. Amen?
Yeah,
amen. Amen. Jesus is fully God and fully man.
Yes, he is.
Of all people, he could have been invulnerable.
Yes.
But he wasn't. Satan even kind of checked him on that. When the devil tempted him in the wilderness, Satan used some proof text and asked him, "Hey, aren't you the Son of God? Aren't you supposed to be invulnerable?" Well, the Bible says that he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways, and they will lift you up on their hands so that you will not strike your foot upon a stone. So, come on, let's go to the top of this temple, cast yourself off, and we'll see that you're not injured. We'll know that you're the Son of God. Let's see it. But Jesus didn't do it. Jesus values his relationship with God above anything else. Jesus wasn't invulnerable. He got hungry. He got thirsty. He wept. He suffered. He bled. And he died. He took on our afflictions. If we're supposed to be like Jesus, then we're not supposed to be invulnerable. If our life is going to be like his, then it's not going to be problem-free. The truth is, you'll never be invulnerable. And you weren't meant to be invulnerable. But our mission here is to declare the good news of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So let me give you some good news. There's something better. Through Christ, we are invincible. Invincible is slightly different. Invincible means impossible to conquer or defeat. Now, as I was trying to think of a comic book character to represent this idea, it was sort of tough because almost everybody in comic books has been beaten at some point. Almost everybody in comic books has been defeated. Many of them have died. And at the same time, almost anybody who dies in comic books is able to come back from the dead somehow. They come up with a way. But as I was trying to think of a character that embodies being invincible, since we talked about the thing as personifying invulnerability, when I thought of being invincible, I thought of the Swamp Thing. I'm hitting on all the handsome comic book characters today. The Swamp Thing was a man named Alec Holland, but he became kind of this plant creature. He is the opposite of the thing. The thing is made of rock. The Swamp Thing is kind of mushy. He embodies all plant life. So he's vulnerable. He can be stabbed. He can be shot. He can be crushed. He can be burned. He's made of plants. You could grind him up into mulch. But as long as there is one plant left somewhere, he survives. So you can understand that he might be kind of difficult to defeat. In fact, I'll go out on a limb here. If the thing fought the swamp thing, I would say that the swamp thing would win. If you disagree, that's okay. Comment on our Facebook page. Let's start an argument on there. I'll be happy to discuss it with you. That's right. And then you throw in the man thing and it gets really crazy. But Swamp Thing's power comes from plant life. As long as there's some plant life anywhere, even possibly on other planets, he can't be beaten. He's invincible. But our victory, our invincibility, comes from something even more eternal than plants. It comes from Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. As Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 25, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. Again, if you work to preserve your life and make yourself invulnerable, you will lose it. But as it says in Romans 6:5, if we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. Now, invincible doesn't mean things can't hurt you. It means that they can't defeat you.
Yeah, that's good.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting with verse 8, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. If we skip ahead to verse 16, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
Right.
The things that we can see in our life, the life that we can see, we can try to protect that. We can try to make it stronger and defend it and make it invulnerable. But everything you can see in this life is temporary. The things that are unseen are the things that are eternal. But now, hold on a minute. Wait a second. I want to make sure I heard this right. Our light and momentary troubles. Well, hang on. Because sometimes the things we face in life don't seem light or momentary. Well, you got to remember, this was written by Paul. He was beaten multiple times. He was thrown in prison. He was shipwrecked. He was bitten by a poisonous snake. He was stoned to death and then prayed back to life. And he continued on. And then eventually he was executed. You can read 2 Corinthians chapter 11 for his full list. He wasn't invulnerable, but he was focused on God. Look at what he says in our memory verse, Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Jesus is the source of our strength and our life in every situation. This verse doesn't mean you're not going to experience problems, that you can overcome anything and make it not an issue through Christ. We will experience problems. But Paul found the secret to being content in every situation. It's not that he's invulnerable and they don't affect him. It's that Christ is with him through every situation. He can get through all things through Christ who is with him. But let's look again at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. There's something else in there that's curious. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Our troubles achieve eternal glory for us? How does that work? Well, we know that Jesus achieved our salvation. But when we persevere through trials, we are becoming like Jesus. James puts it this way in chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. We're not meant to be invulnerable. We have to persevere through the troubles that we experience. But as we do, we are being conformed to the image of Christ. Jesus was vulnerable. Jesus is invincible. If we're going to be conformed to his image, we have to be vulnerable in order to be invincible. Now, usually we associate vulnerability with weakness. But, as we learned last week, God's power is made perfect in our weakness. You can try to protect yourself and secure your life, or you can live for God and live for others. Jesus said we must take up our cross and follow him. Only if we lose our life for him will we truly find it. Love is vulnerability. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He didn't have to, but he did out of love. We are called to love God and love our neighbor as ourself. We are called to be vulnerable. We all know John 3:16. I just quoted part of it a moment ago. Do you know 1 John 3:16? It's interesting. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Love is vulnerability. You can't lay down your life if you're invulnerable. We have to be vulnerable in order to bear one another's burdens, in order to minister to each other in our time of need. We rejoice with those who rejoice, but we also weep with those who weep. If you're invulnerable, if you don't feel anything, you're not going to weep with your brother or sister. We have to be willing to let God and let others touch our heart. And that could be a problem, at least for me. We live in a difficult, dangerous, and depressing world. And we naturally develop resistance to things that cause us pain. Our hearts get hardened by the world around us. Sometimes we harden them ourselves. There have been times in my life where I emotionally shut down. I looked at vulnerability, emotional openness as weakness. In fact, sometimes you can get the message that that's how things are. You need to suppress that. So we shut down. We harden our hearts. I don't want to feel things. Or just look at the news. Every day, the news is filled with stories. And man, sometimes I don't know what to do other than just to shut it off, to try and shut it down. Because if I look at that stuff, I'm just going to cry for the rest of the day. It's easier to harden our hearts than to think about the people involved in these stories. The immigrant crisis at the border. Those are people. They still need food and water. Or the people in Iraq, the Christians being persecuted. My God. It'd be so much easier to just think, well, the world's a messed up place. Bad things happen. I gotta get to my stuff. I can't even think about that. But there's people suffering there. There's our brothers and sisters in Christ who are undergoing unspeakable things. And they're trying to hold on to their faith through it all. And even on top of that, the people who are persecuting them. There's groups of people who don't know Christ. And they're building up armies and they're building up a region based on a faith that doesn't know that Jesus Christ is their Savior. And if they don't figure it out, if something doesn't change there, they're lost. What do you do with that? The easiest thing to do is just shut it down. Harden your heart. Try not to think about it. But that's not who we're called to be. So what do we do? And the problem is that it's cumulative. As you harden your heart, it tends to build on itself. If your heart is a rock, it's almost a superpower to let it feel something, to let it be vulnerable. If that's what we're supposed to be, how do we get there once we've really shut down and hardened our heart to where we're not impacted anymore? Well, thankfully, with God, all things are possible. Ezekiel 36:26. God says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. God can help us to start over. He can give us a new heart that's able to feel. He can take that heart of stone and give us one that's vulnerable. Are you willing to be vulnerable? We have the freedom to be vulnerable because Jesus Christ is our victory.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.